Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Well, howdy, everybody. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. I'm Molly.
And I'm Kim.
We are excited to be with you today. We've got a really awesome show. It is not often that one gets Frank Gaffney to come on air and chat with you about national security and foreign events.
All the stuff that's going on.
Yeah. He's a really cool guy. He's going to be with us coming on in the second segment. He's the founder, president, and CEO of Center for Security Policy. And he's done a lot. He's been recognized for his analysis of foreign and defense policy matters. There's a lot of things that he's been talking about lately. He's been actually warning us about electromagnetic pulse attacks, mm-hmm. EMPs, for a long, long time.
We've talked about that a few times.
And so we're going to have him on and we're going to chat about that. He served under Ronald Reagan as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy. He's also got a lot of different pieces coming out, and he's been asking for McMaster's termination, and that's our...
Wow.
Our head guy of National Security Advisor right now says there may be some leaks coming out of that area, so that's going to be important to talk about. We're also going to talk about North Korea and Iran. And I hadn't really tied together the whole threat of the EMP coming from those miniaturized nuclear warheads that we just found out that North Korea has.
Right.
They thought was going to take so long to come out. But I found an article, Kim, on the Center for Security Policy's website from 2015, where they were already warning that North Korea may get this miniature nuclear warhead. And if they do, they can send it up into the sky over America, 2,400 miles up, and they've already proved they can do that. And it would wipe out our energy for the entire mm-hmm. country.
I was listening to somebody earlier today, and they said that this, where we are with North Korea right now, is really 30 years of failed policies, 30
yeah.
years
yep.
of appeasement.
R&D, Republican and Democrat, they've all
exactly.
been appeasing them.
Across, it was a bipartisan appeasement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, definitely Trump yesterday, President Trump had some very harsh words to the North Koreans in reference to their saber-rattling on nuclear weapons. And, you know, I saw Senator McCain was just... very concerned about that rhetoric. It's like, you know what? We are in a very serious time, Molly. And I think that we need to speak loudly about this, because this could really, I mean, it could decimate Americans. And so we need to be talking about it.
We totally do. And I know that North Korea is already talking about attacking Guam right now. They are within their reach. We have many military servicemen and women there right now. And that's a U.S. territory. Mm-hmm. So that would be a direct hit on us. And I just don't understand why Republicans and Democrat leaders for so many years thought, well, we'll just kick the can down the road. We'll just, you know, we'll buy them off. We'll give them $1 billion here or there. You know, all this that we're just allowing them to continue to build up nuclear warheads when we know the goal is to take over the world. I mean, look at the North Korea leader. I mean, this guy's like Stalin living today.
Well, Molly, you know what? Let's take a look at health care. For 7 years, Republicans had said that they were going to repeal that and replace that. And they had no plan in place. And I think that they've just been messing around in Washington. And now Mitch McConnell is saying that President Trump had excessive expectations for what they could do. And then they left and went on vacation. I think that many people in the Senate and the House of Representatives, they have not been doing the job that the average American has trusted them to do.
Yeah, and what they're supposed to do is protect we the people. North Korea, I never realized how crazy this guy was and what a huge threat they still are to us today, not just to his own people. And his own people, obviously, there are hundreds of thousands in labor camps. Like it's like
tragic.
Germany, it's like Italy. It's so
in
bad.
World War II.
In World War II times. But, you know, now they still have three American hostages. North Korea does. They let Otto go, and a week later he died. Yeah. They had him there for 17 months. And now I saw, I think this was just yesterday, they finally just released Canadian pastor who had been with them. He was arrested in 2015. He had to do hard labor. He was digging, you know, hole after hole after hole every single day, 6 days a week, 8 hours a day, hard labor, because allegedly he had attempted to overthrow North Korea by using religion, by talking about Christianity in the country of North Korea. Because like you said, when we were in Normandy, you know, that German soldier, the World War II veteran, said all they knew, they didn't know God. All they knew was Hitler, 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 Hitler. At the schools and the churches, everything was Hitler. They didn't know there was another way. They didn't know that they were created to be free people and to create and prosper and do wonderful things.
Even the American idea.
And the North Koreans don't have that knowledge either, because their leaders don't allow that.
Well, and they're trying to suppress free speech. And that's actually happening here in America as well today. And so that is why, agree or disagree with somebody, people have the right to say whatever they're going to say, even if it hurts somebody's feelings. And because it doesn't take too far to get from suppressing speech here to what's happening over North Korea. It takes a little bit of time, but it is the same faulty premise to do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be very curious to talk to Frank Gaffney what he thinks the right kind of solution is, because as you mentioned at the beginning, Kim, you know, after 30 years of failed policies by both Republican and Democrats of basically kowtowing to these North Korea, mm-hmm. to Russia, to Iran, to all of these different groups, mm-hmm. and allowing them to do what they're doing and giving them money, that's not helping. It's making them more powerful. We know that just like in World War II, trying to fight the Japanese kamikaze fighters, you can't negotiate with it. How do you win over somebody who wants to die unless you kill them? There's no option there. And that's the same thing that we face with ISIS today. Mm-hmm. These people want to die. It's honorable to die for what they think that their goal
is. Yeah.
And so what we've got to talk about is if America is, you know, one of the only that still believes that everybody should be free people, and we should be free because we don't bow to a king or a queen. We were created freely. Then how do we fight those that want to shut us down? So stick with us when we come back. It's the AmeriChicks. We'll be with Frank Gaffney.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment, and closing fees are limited. Active duty or retired military, reserves, and surviving spouses may qualify. Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook have spent decades finding the correct loan to suit your unique financial situation. Give Home Mortgage Alliance a call at 303-888-2732. That's 303-888-2732. Or check them out on our AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com.
Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, August 4th, the triple feature at 88 Drive-In will include the Emoji Movie, Dark Tower, and Valerian. Admission is $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-ounce pizza and two 16-ounce sodas for just $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to four toppings to choose from. For more info on movie showings and times, visit 88drivein.net, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks show. Molly and Kim on KDMT. Just one quick update on that commercial you heard for 88 Drive-In, the longest standing drive-in movie theater in Colorado. How romantic. Take your family. The movies actually are Emoji, War for the Planet of the Apes, and Valerian. Okay. Just a quick correction for you, and all of that will change again starting on Friday.
And four toppings on the funnel cake, they said, too.
Ugh, I love funnel cakes. Why not, right?
You got
They just keep making those stretch pants much more
easier
and stretchy. Yeah. So anyways, there's so much going on in the world today when it comes to national security, foreign policy, and then also just what's going on in the White House with all the leaks coming out. And you know, it really is harmful to our national security if we can't have in the White House and in Congress people that are trustworthy, mm-hmm. people who all want to make sure that the people are protected. So we have invited our friend Frank Gaffney to join us on the air. Hey, Frank, thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon. It's great to be with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we sure appreciate it. For everybody out there, Frank Gaffney is the founder, president, CEO of the Center for Security Policy. Check out the website. There's a lot of great articles. We're going to be talking about one that you have actually that just came out today. But also, Frank Gaffney, you served under President Ronald Reagan. You were Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy. You've served in many different ways with the with foreign policy and national defense and have been recognized for your analysis. You also are an author and your own radio show host, Secure Freedom Radio. So I know you're doing a bunch out there. Thank you for continuing to keep your eye on national security. One thing that you just I saw on your website today, Frank, was the Center for Security Policy calls for H.R. McMaster's termination. And you said if such conduct from McMaster, like disloyal and subversive behavior, is allowed to continue, Trump voters will have unknowingly elected President McMaster rather than Trump. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, let me just introduce the character in question. Of course, this is Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, who is currently serving as the president's national security advisor. In that capacity, he presides over the National Security Council at the White House complex and is responsible for helping to manage the foreign and defense policy portfolio for the president. I've come to the conclusion, as I think a awful lot of other people, that H.R. McMaster is disqualified himself from performing those functions because he has been, well, repeatedly, I think, insubordinate to the president, including in some cases publicly disassociating himself with or simply disagreeing with the president's policies. He's also engaged in something that I remember. You mentioned that I served in the Reagan administration vividly from my time there. President Reagan used to say, personnel is policy. And by that, he meant that the kind of people that are staffing an administration have a lot to do with what that administration does and whether it's consistent with what the president wants to do and, more to the point, the interests of the American people. And I've, again, come to the conclusion that what H.R. McMaster has been doing with respect to personnel in the National Security Council and I think elsewhere in the government, for that matter, has been retaining the services of people who used to work for Barack Obama, mm-hmm. who simply do not agree with President Trump's agenda, which, let's recall, was in part to change course dramatically from the agenda that they had served during the previous presidency. And in addition to all of that, H.R. McMaster has recently been purging people from the National Security Council who have, in fact, very strongly supported and worked on behalf of President Trump. So for all these reasons, I think he's no longer fit to serve in this very sensitive position, especially at a time when there is a lot of very dangerous stuff going on in the world.
Well, Frank Gaffney, I think President Trump, I mean, he's a very successful businessman. And you don't become that successful without really kind of knowing people, knowing personnel. So how is it that H.R. McMaster is in this position and continues to stay there?
It's a great question. Look, I think if H.R. McMaster were working on real estate development in New York City, the president would have had a very, very highly developed sense of his skills and whether he's the right guy for the job. And, you know, frankly, he would have been considered to be unfit if he had exhibited a similar kind of sort of behavior. In this case, of course, we're not talking about a field in which the president has been deeply immersed for a long time. We're talking about the subject matter on which I think he's had some strong views, to be sure, and by and large, I think particularly as articulated in the course of the campaign, a very sensible policy approach. It's just that I think, and I'm not entirely sure how this happened, to be honest with you, but I think he got bad advice from people he assumed knew what they were talking about and assumed that they understood what he was trying to do. One of them has been identified as former four-star general David Petraeus, a man who conducted himself with distinction in some of his previous incarnations and not so much in others. But the point is, I think that to the extent it was his advice the president took about a personnel choice in a sensitive position under difficult circumstances. Let's recall this was when Mike Flynn had been unceremoniously dumped and the president was scrambling to make sure that he was getting his administration off on the right foot. He found this individual and took him at face value, and I think in so doing made an unfortunate mistake that needs to be rectified.
Mm-hmm. And Frank Gaffney, do you think, I've been reading many different articles from different sources, and I'm not sure yet, so I won't quote any, but several are saying that McMaster has been leaking information from the inside. Do you think that's true?
There is evidence of that, and I think more will be coming out. It's, of course, not been confined to the NSC, but whether it's McMaster personally who's been doing it or whether it's Obama holdovers that he has declined to describe as holdovers. I mean, it's as though he just sort of waved a magic wand and said, well, if you used to work for President Obama, but you're still here, you now work for President Trump, and you're all part of the team. Those are his words. And I think almost everybody, whether it's a football fan or whether it's somebody in the business world, would realize that if you've brought in somebody who was working against your team or against your corporation or against your interests until very recently, you ought to be very alive to the possibility that those folks are going to be trying to sabotage you. Mm-hmm. And one way of sabotaging them is, of course, by compromising their playbook or, disclosing sensitive information that embarrasses the president or undermines his policy initiatives or simply the perception of his leadership. That's, I think, been going on. And in part, at least, I believe that the buck does stop at H.R. McMaster's desk, because he says that that's the kind of policy personnel he wants. And I think the results are absolutely predictable and deeply, deeply injurious to the president and to the country.
Yeah. And, it seems like General McMaster has not been willing to call radical Islamic terrorism what it is. And if the person that's in charge of national security can't identify a threat and name it what it is, I don't know how we go after that. I also noticed in your article that you mentioned that McMaster personally granted former National Security Advisor Susan Rice continued access to top secret information in April, even though we knew that she had unmasked President Trump's, former President Trump's campaign and transition team members. Does she still have that access, do you know?
Well, first part of your question first, if I may, this is one of the very distressing aspects of what's been going on here. On his first day with his staff at the National Security Council, H.R. McMaster announced that he did not agree to the use of the term radical Islamic terrorism. Mm. And, it's not my preferred term, to be honest with you. I think of what we're up against as Sharia supremacism, mm-hmm. excuse me. But it's the president's term. It's the term that he said he believed is the
the best way to define the enemy. He made it absolutely clear that he thought that was how we needed to be describing them, because we've been trying for most of the past 16 years to fight an enemy without being clear about who they are. So I think this is a case in point of why this guy is unfit and why he has been doing harm to the presidency. He's been on this very central question wrong, at least with respect to the president's own views and policy direction. Mm-hmm. On the Susan Rice question, as far as I know, she does still have access to the most sensitive classified information in the country.
That is absolutely
astounding. HR McMaster.
That's astounding, Frank Gaffney. I mean, that's unbelievable with everything that's gone on.
Well, and here's the thing. He not only had to give her access to that information personally, in this case, but he had to attest that she could be trusted to handle with care classified information. And based on what we've seen her do, and let's recall, this was not simply confined to this unmasking scandal. This is also a function of what she did during the Benghazi scandal, where she repeatedly lied and misused classified information to try to make it sound as though there was some darn video on the internet that was responsible for killing four of our diplomatic personnel. So anyway, I think that his attesting to her trustworthiness speaks volume about his lack of trustworthiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so real quick, but we've got a couple minutes before we go to break, and then we'll really dive into, I want to get into North Korea. Before we do that, I wanted to ask you your thoughts on Iran, the nuclear deal. It looks like every 90 days we have a review period. The next one is in October. What do you think? Are they in compliance? Are they not? What should we do about Iran?
Well, again, it's very much related to what we've just been talking about. Iran is not in compliance with a terrible understanding, a political understanding, as John Kerry was forced to admit. It's not even a deal. Nobody signed it. The documents are in, you know, disagreement. If you look at it in English versus what they have in Farsi, the trouble here is that President Trump, again, ran against the Obama bomb deal, as I call it, because he understood it to be among the most defective agreements ever negotiated. And he, I believe, would have jettisoned it some time ago, because he not only has to certify in these 90-day reviews that Iran is in compliance with these agreements, these accords, this understanding, whatever you want to call it, again, which it is not. But he also has to attest to the fact that it is in the national security of the interests of the United States, and this agreement is not. So H.R. McMaster thinks it is, and has, I think, screwed the president several times over it.
And it sounds like Secretary of State Tillerson is not giving any information to the opposite. So that's unfortunate. Well, wondering why. But stick with us. This is the AmeriChicks. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with Frank Gaffney, the Center for Security Policy.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Chick, Molly Vogt, and Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. There's all kinds of great information there, as well as all of our shows are archived there. We have on the line Frank Gaffney, and you know him. He is the CEO, president, founder of the Center for Security Policy, and he served under President Ronald Reagan, acting as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security. He had a high-level position with NATO. I mean, he really knows national security. So, Frank Gaffney, thank you so much for joining the AmeriChicks this evening.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So, hey, just a quick question, Frank. Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, I've really liked him. But it sounds, or there's some reports out there that he is withholding some information from President Trump that President Trump thinks that he needs. Is that true, or what are you hearing about that?
Well, I'm aware of one episode in particular that's worrying. And I mentioned just as we were going to break that I think that the president has been sort of screwed by his national security team on specifically this issue of certifying Iran's compliance with the Obama bomb deal and its consistency with our national security interests. The first time this sort of snuck up on the president and without, I think, even consulting with the White House until it was basically done, the State Department certified back in April that, in fact, everything was fine. The president apparently was furious when he discovered that. He demanded that Rex Tillerson go out within hours of that certification and denounce Iran in a very sweeping and I thought, you know, quite effective indictment for what it's been doing, both within the letter of this, the four search squares, or the four corners, I guess they call it, of the deal, and of a whole host of other things, terrorism, regional subversion, and the like, ballistic missile developments, and so on. The president apparently also said on that occasion, 90 days from now, when the second of these compliance reviews is due, I want an option from you in the State Department and therefore under the National Security Council's oversight for an alternative approach that would not have me certifying to what is not true. Unfortunately, we've learned that when that second 90-day review came about in I believe it was early July, the president was not given another option. He was simply given the same option he had before, which is go ahead and certify. And again, he was very unhappy about it. And I think he held Rex Tillerson to blame in part. I think Rex was sort of the proxy of the State Department bureaucracy, which, like the National Security Council staff under H.R. McMaster, has generally populated by people who don't like President Trump, who don't agree with his policies. And the upshot of it, we're told, is that the president said, I want my own White House staff, not the National Security Council staff, certainly not the State Department, my own trusted people on the White House staff, to give me another option when the next 90 days comes due in, as you say, October.
Wow. How dangerous is it for us to say, you know, we're not going to give quality national security information to the president of the United States because we don't like him, you know, damned be the American people. So anyway.
Well, the question, obviously answers itself. It's very dangerous and it's anti-democratic. And that's what worries me most about what's been happening with the personnel is policy that has been sort of insinuated into this administration, I think, notwithstanding the president's general direction, certainly notwithstanding what he promised the American people would be his policies when he asked for their votes and got them. What we've got instead is pretty much a third Obama term, something that they rejected at the polls. They didn't want Hillary Clinton to bring them that. And lo and behold, as a result of kind of, if you will, a soft coup d'etat in the defense and foreign policy arena, that's what we're getting. Yeah. And I think it's not just dangerous for this presidency, but it's actually dangerous for the American people and our country more generally.
Yeah, it is. And this is not right versus left. This is right versus wrong. It sounds like there's somebody outside of D.C. that's pulling the strings here, and that's harmful to all people. We need to shed the light on the truth. Frank Gaffney, Center for Security Policy, check out his website. I want to ask you about North Korea and electric magnetic pulse threats that we have today. You've talked a lot about electromagnetic pulse threats and how dangerous it would be if all of our electricity were to go out in the entire country. Society would be devastated. So many people would die. You know, it would take so long to get the grid back up again. But you have an article in centerforsecuritypolicy.org from 2015 where you were warning about a defector from North Korea who was a professor of computer science for 20 years before he escaped in 2004. He was teaching young adults how to hack into computer systems, and now that group is about 6,000 cyber soldiers. They're known as Bureau 121, and they were learning how to cyber hack into APIs, application programming interfaces, targeting control systems of critical infrastructure. You've mentioned in this article about the danger of miniature nuclear warheads. If North Korea finally got those, which we just found out this week they do have, that would be very dangerous for us because they could deploy their EMPs through these nuclear capability. They've already been working with Russia to get the EMP technology. They basically could just shoot a missile 2,500 square miles, I guess, and take out all of America. This is an article from your company in 2015, and now that we're finding out this is actually possible, are you thinking that this is next?
Well, correct. And I think 2,500 nautical miles, not square miles, is the altitude at which some of these missiles they've been flying recently have flown. Just let me back up, if I could, for a second. You had a wonderful little spot from my friend Jeff Hunt of the Centennial Institute on during the break. Mm-hmm. And for your listeners, I have had the privilege of speaking at all eight of those wonderful Western conservative summits, and in the past have talked with the folks there about this problem. And you're right, it's been evident for quite some time that the North Koreans, among other enemies of our country, have figured out that if they want to do what they have long said they want to do, which is destroy the United States of America, there is no more efficient way to do that, no more certain devastating way to do that than by taking down the electric grid of the United States. And there are lots of ways in which that could be accomplished. It could be done through physical sabotage of key assets around the country. We saw what looked very much like that kind of attack about 4 years ago outside of San Jose, California, where some people in the dark of night dang near took down a critical substation and could have blacked out much of Northern California, including Silicon Valley, for years. We've seen cyber attacks. As you say, these guys in North Korea have been working hard at it. So have the Russians. They've actually turned off the lights in Ukraine. The Iranians have done it in Turkey and others elsewhere. So that's another vector. Another, though, that we've been discussing and is concerning to me because I think there is a lot of circumstantial evidence that this is what the North Koreans have been beavering away at, is to use something called electromagnetic pulse, or EMP, to rain down, in effect, a devastating burst of electromagnetic energy from a nuclear weapon detonated in space, say, perhaps a miniaturized nuclear weapon on one of their satellites. They have two of them orbiting the Earth right now, overflying our country every few hours. And were that to happen, the problem is that a grid that was never built to be resilient, we've spent a lot of time and energy trying to make sure that it's reliable, and it does a pretty darn good job, except for the odd bad storm. But we never built into it resilience against attack. And that's what needs to happen, and it needs to happen urgently, because otherwise we really do have an Achilles heel for a country that if somebody, the North Koreans, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, or others were to exploit, could literally create a nation-ending disaster. And we can fortunately do something about this. We've got to get on with doing it.
Well, Frank Gaffney, and that was really the question. We had talked about this subject several months ago and asked why have we not done something about it, and the answer was there's not been the political will. And when we look at the amount of money necessary to actually shore up the grid, it's less than what they are proposing to spend on that bullet train or high-speed rail from whatever San Francisco down to San Diego. I just can't figure out why somebody doesn't step up to the plate and get this taken care of.
Well, there are lots of reasons. Political will is one way to describe it. Most Americans are unaware that almost all of the assets that power everything from, how we get our water to how we get our food, to how we communicate with one another, to our transportation system, to our finances, and so on, are critically dependent upon assets that are owned by the private sector. About 85% of the grid is in private utilities' hands. Most of them have their hands full, if I can use that expression, trying just to make sure that they get power and they make a profit. If somebody comes along and says to them, you know, what you're operating could be at risk of a terrible national security threat from one of the other of these bad actors. And they say, well, we don't do national security. Talk to the Defense Department. And the Defense Department, even though it relies upon the civilian power grid for about 99% of the electricity that power its bases across the country, they think, hey, it's not our job to protect the private sector's assets and the utilities. That's theirs. So you've got people sort of pointing at each other, and it's complicated, and people are concerned that if you start screwing around with the grid to make it more resilient, you might break it. And so for all these reasons, it's been easier to just hope that nothing happens. It's a mistake to do that. We can't indulge in it any longer.
Wow. Frank Caffney, great conversation. We have run out of time, your time this afternoon with us, and we really appreciate it. But it's been a great conversation with Frank Caffney with the Center for Security Policy. You're really, really shed light on these important issues. So thank you so much for joining the Americhicks this afternoon.
Thank you, Frank, and thank you for all the information.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Creeble.
In America, we have National Lemonade Day. Thanks to an organization that thought such an event would be a great way to teach kids how to start, own, and operate their own business, a lemonade stand. They host events in 36 cities, but sadly not in hundreds of other communities where kids' lemonade stands are illegal. We all understand concerns about food prepared in kitchens that may not be approved by the health department. But if we look at such rules through the lens of liberty, we should realize they are teaching the wrong lessons. Kids are learning that government regulations, zoning laws, licenses, and taxes destroy their small businesses and discourage them from ever trying again. They're already defeated entrepreneurs. Let's stand up against these foolish regulations and defend freedom, starting with our own children.
The Lens of Liberty is brought to you by the Vernon K. Creeble Foundation.
Okay, welcome back. We are the Americhicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. Really interesting information, I would say. It's actually kind of scary, Molly. You know, I think that we are driving around, you know, going to work, playing golf, you know, taking the kids to swimming lessons, schools getting started. And I don't think that, you know, I think that everyday Americans are trusting that people in Washington have our best interests in mind, and they are doing things to make sure that they take care of us. And if you look at this whole debacle regarding the repeal and replace of Obamacare, we realize that I think they've just been moving papers around. And I don't know. It's of great concern. But, hey, you know, just a quick question. I was having a little trouble with my computer here just a minute ago. But, you know, soon...
You may have been cyber hacked by one of the 6,000 cyber guys in North Korea, the cyber soldiers.
Yeah.
Bureau 121. Well, I don't know.
I hope not. But if so, in about 5 weeks, right around the middle part of September, Evan, your IT guy, should be up and running. And Evan, your IT guy, is a network of IT professionals ready to provide on-demand help for all your computer needs. So go to evanyouritguy.com. And we've got these handy-dandy little webcam covers that they're giving away. And so if you want one, go to their website, evanyouritguy.com, scroll down to the bottom. Under the Discover tab, you'll see free webcam cover. Click on that, fill out all the information, tell them that you know the Americhicks, and you will be getting a free webcam cover in the mail soon.
Mm-hmm. So real quick, you know, we were just on the phone with Frank Caffney. Definitely check out centerforsecuritypolicy.org. He served under Ronald Reagan, and he has been nationally and internationally recognized for his analysis of foreign and defense policy matters. Right now, Kim, you and I have met him, like he mentioned on the show in the last segment, that he's been at Western Conservative Summit for 7 years in a row. We had the opportunity to interview him in person last year, and he's always talking about the grid, the American power grid, and how dangerous it is and how vulnerable we are if somebody attacks us. And, you know, everything in modern life requires electric power now. And to say, you know, it's interesting when our government says we want 100%, you know, renewable energy and all this kind of stuff. But the fact is, we want reliable energy, mm-hmm. and we count on it. Our hospitals count on it, and we count on it for food and just our way of life.
You know,
we're not used to living like cavemen anymore. We're not there anymore. Many people, if our electric grid goes out, will die. And you know, it's just so interesting that Frank Gaffney was talking in 2015 about the threat of North Korea coming up with the miniature nuclear warheads that they can shoot into the sky right over America and take out our electric grid. It could take out a 2,500-mile radius. They have it. They have, North Korea now has this mini nuclear warhead. I'm just sitting here going, I'm in shock because Gaffney was talking about this in 2015. They're like, oh, that's so far down the road. And our own national security team under former President Obama said, that's so far down the road. Don't worry about it. But it's here now. And I'm just feeling frustrated and let down that my government that I elected and I trusted, and I've been paying, have allowed it to get to this point. I mean, at any minute now, literally, North Korea could shoot a missile. We already know that it could hit the west coast of America. They've already confirmed that. And they could take out our electric grid.
But, you know, Molly, that's one of the things that they have said is that, oh, that they don't have a really good aim yet. So, say that they tried to hit San Francisco. They might not hit it because they just don't have a really good aim. But you know what? If you shoot an intercontinental ballistic missile.
There you go. ICBM.
There we go. Up into the air with a miniature nuclear warhead. You don't have to be real accurate. And to your point that, you know, we have not had the political will. We've not had leaders in private enterprise working with politicians and bureaucrats to get this problem taken care of. But I've heard plenty of conversations about public-private partnerships regarding light rail, things to get people out of their cars, because there seems to be an agenda with that. I think that we really need to get started to get some real attention on this. I know that there's a number of different organizations and people are looking at that, but I think that we really need to start to put some pressure on our congressmen, our senators to do that. So I did want to, Molly, I just wanted to let somebody know, JB had given me a couple of questions to ask Frank, and I was hoping we'd have Frank for three segments, and we didn't. So JB, we'll try to get him back on, and I've got your questions here, and we will ask him those. So we didn't forget, we just didn't get to them.
So give us the first question.
Well, the first question that JB had was, he wanted to ask Frank, why is it that it seems that the Democrats and those on the far left are so supportive of Muslims and Sharia law? He said, are they naive? Do they not know what it is? Or are they okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an opinion?
And, you know, well, I've been reading Frank Gaffney's website, you know, researching for the show today.
So you're going to be Frank Gaffney
well,
now?
Well, I'm just going to say, I'm just going to share something that he had written. And as we mentioned earlier in the show today, he said he doesn't want to say specifically Islamic extremism. He wants to say Sharia supremacism. That is the fear, he says. That's the threat. And he said that the practice of Islam is hateful towards countries like the United States because we believe our government should be defined by a man-made constitution, not by the dictates of a deity like Allah or codified in a doctrine like Sharia. So he says, you know, Sharia law is the issue. The problem is the hateful doctrine of Sharia. That is the law that Islam follows. And it is determined to ensure that the entire world submits to it. So that's why there's no, and that's not saying that all Muslims follow Sharia law. And especially if they're in America, you know, he mentioned a lot of them, if they left their country to get out from underneath, you know, the heavy hand and the extremism, they came to America because it's so much better for human rights, mm-hmm. in general. But when you are really strict on Sharia law and following the doctrine, then you know it tells you their Messiah is not coming back until everybody else is converted to their religion or dead. And so that's the problem.
Yes, that is a real problem. There is no way that Sharia law and the U.S. Constitution can coexist.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Right.
Because, as you mentioned, Sharia wants to use force to make people all believe a certain way.
All believe in one God. And our Constitution says that we've separated church and state sense that we do not want our government to say everybody has to follow one religion.
Right.
And the government under Sharia law says everybody has to follow one religion.
Right.
Or
right.
die.
Right. And the other component of it is, of course, if you have a religion that says that if you don't follow it, you die, that goes directly against the Declaration
Freedom.
Of Independence
yeah.
with the vision of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So there is really no way that Sharia and the U.S. Constitution can coexist. It's just not possible. So when you look at the people that live under each of those doctrines, if you will, many people are subdued, and they're certainly not free under Sharia. You know, there's somebody else that's making decisions for them. There's somebody else it's kind of the heavy hand of Sharia law. Whereas the whole idea with America is that our government, in a way, serves at the pleasure of the governed, you know, that is how it is supposed to work. And so there is just no way that the two can coexist. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work.
Right. And this goes, you know, we're talking about national security and foreign policy and the threats that we see today. Just like in World War II, Hitler did not allow the people, they weren't allowed to go to their different churches. Remember when? And in Cuba, we had our friend Maria mm-hmm. in here, and she said as a little girl, she was not allowed to go to church. The kids had to be marching.
Lining up marching.
Because if you thought that your rights came from a creator, then that would take away the power of that dictator that was trying to hurt mm-hmm. you. Same thing in North Korea. We mentioned at the beginning of the show, they have finally just released the Canadian pastor, Rim Hyun-soo, I believe, and on sick bail because they said he was sick, but he was arrested for allegedly attempting to overturn North Korea's powerful regime using religion by talking about Christianity. Because if you're a Christian, you're not going to believe that one human is supposed to rule over you and keep you under their power. That's the same under Sharia law. It's the same, really, I think, in America, where we're trying, so many of our leaders are trying to get rid of any kind of religion in anywhere where, you know, you can't wear a cross on your necklace and you can't have the Ten Commandments in a courthouse and getting rid of all of that. Why? Because if we have those things in place, then we, the people, know that our rights don't come from our government and we won't let them take power over us. It's mm-hmm. amazing to me when you say history repeats itself, because Kimmy, it's true. Mm-hmm. That's why they're changing the history books. That's why I'm so glad that you've got me keeping my eyes on the process, even though you dragged me to these really boring meetings. But the truth
is
that
important.
We've got to keep our eyes on the process at the local, state, and the national level.
We really do. And it was a great get to talk to Frank Gaffney. Mm-hmm. I want to say thanks to Amy for that connection. We really appreciate that. These are serious times. And I think that there's a false sense of safety. Certainly we hear these things on the news, but I think that we as Americans don't really believe that something could happen to the mainland. And we're in a different time now. We're in a different world. And so we need to really wise up. We need to know what's going on, and we need to put pressure on our congressmen and on our senators to go back to Washington and do the job that, number one, they're supposed to do. And that is that we are able to live in safety. And when we live in safety, we can prosper, we can thrive. And that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in World War II, Japan said that they were going to attack Pearl Harbor rather than the mainland because they knew there would be a rifle behind every blade of grass. When we were strong and we were seen as strong and we were leading from the front and we had peace through strength, other countries knew not to mess with us and not to take us down. And that's why this was a safe place for Americans and for everybody around the world to come to. And now, unfortunately, over the last at least 8, but more than that, years, we've had representatives, Republican and Democrat, that apparently have been weakening us by kowtowing to these dictators in other countries.
Not
and now, and it's and this is the time. And, you know, I see the jokes that people joke that, you know, President Trump keeps, you know, firing people in his cabinet. But you know what? When you see what's going on, like McMaster right now, General McMaster, national security guy, and he's leaking information. trying to hurt us, you know what? Fire them all. Start from scratch. Put people in place that want to protect the people. I don't want Republican versus Democrat. I want right versus wrong. I want our government to do what we hired them to do, protect we the people.
Right.
This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, and we're here on KDMT every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m.
I'll go for a short one here with George Washington. To be prepared for war is one of the most effectual means of preserving peace. That's George Washington in his first annual message, 1790.
God bless you. Stick with us. We'll be back tomorrow.